he hasn't, but I've been trying to put off dealing with the 2014 election, just trying to put it off. Folk calling, I'm trying to run for something. Can I come on? No, I'm not ready to deal with this. Until this week when I got a note that the Marion County Republican Party possibly wants to make history by running an African-American for one of the major countywide posts in this county, and that's Marion County Sheriff. And in the House, we have what the Marion County Republican Party wants and their recommendations to their folks to be their candidate for Marion County Sheriff. He announced his candidacy 2 days ago to run in the Republican primary for sheriff. His name is Emmett Carney. He is a law enforcement veteran. He started out in policing as a Kentucky State Trooper. Well, we won't hold that against him. But he has spent the last quarter of a century as a special agent with the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Hello. So he's sort of like Agent Gibbs on the ATF side. His name is Emmett Carney, and he joins us live. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for the hospitality and having me today.
And by the way, Mr. Carney is also has a degree in broadcasting.
All right. Uh-oh.
Graduate.
All right. Now we really here comes the test now.
Graduate and undergraduate.
Yeah, a master's and a bachelor's at Murray State,
yes,
and
sir.
Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yes, sir.
So let me start with the question we ask all candidates. Why are you running?
Well, I'm running because I believe that the sheriff department needs a better leader, and I think I'm the guy to do that job.
Now, what is it about that you would focus on that's not currently being focused on by the current sheriff?
I think it's what's not being focused on at this time are the five core responsibilities that the Marion County Sheriff's Department has been tasked to enforce. That is the jail, sexual offender registry, building security, serving civil warrants, and also maintaining the communications.
What would you do differently if you're elected and when we're having this conversation 2 weeks from a year from now? What would you be doing differently as Marion County Sheriff?
Well, in about 384 days, what I will be doing differently is, one, is maintaining those five core objectives. Mm-hmm. And once I get those squared away, then we'll take a deeper look within. But I think our first responsibility is to do those five core.
What would be, but are there things in the five core as you look at them that you would want to change, that you would want the citizens of Marion County to know, hey, I think we ought to do things a little differently? Or do you even think that there needs to even be a change in what's been done?
I think that anything change is good. What I would do is come in and take a closer look, more of attention to detail, and I would focus on some of the issues that they've had with the early prison release, misconduct by employees, and mm-hmm. try to eliminate those. I think we got to start within our house. You know, I'm not the sheriff, haven't been the sheriff, so I got to go in and take an open mind. But my focus would be enforcing those five major things.
One of the big things in the debates and discussion we've had in Marion County is the role of the sheriff in Marion County and the role it plays in public safety. Some folks think the sheriff's department should have, you know, it's traditional law enforcement agencies, even though we've had the merger and IMPD does that. As far as that goes, what should the sheriff do? Should it be those five things that you talked about, or should it also be that law enforcement component?
It should be the five things I've talked about, and it should also be trying to be a good partner with public safety, with the mayor, and I think that's where you would start.
Let me ask you this. So if you are sheriff, when it comes time for Circle City Classic or the 500 Festival Parade or the Indianapolis 500 or this marathon that's going to tie up a third of this city, what do they call it, the Monumental Marathon next Saturday, would you not want Marion County Sheriff's deputies to assist in terms of traffic control and other law enforcement functions?
Again, I would be a good partner. And I would reach out to the mayor, public safety director, and say, hey, how can we help out? And it may be that they would reach out to us first to say, we need additional manpower that I think we would be qualified to assist in those areas.
But you wouldn't be out buying new trucks and new cars and new bicycle patrols?
No, I don't think we need bicycles to, patrol the courts and security in the jail. I would not do that.
If you're elected, you would be a constitutional officer.
Yes, sir.
The state of Indiana. there are certain things that are mandated by the Constitution that a county sheriff must do.
Yes, sir.
So in this whole budget thing, what happens if you're allocated a budget and then all of a sudden you got to, you know, there's more people you got to go look for with the warrants. There's, you know, maybe one of the communications towers goes out in an emergency, a tornado takes out one of your towers, you got to replace it. Or the IMPD does such a great job in law enforcement that all of a sudden jail one, jail two gets overcrowded. You got to spend more money and you don't have it, but it's something that you have to do. Even going back to this whole medical issue in the police officers, find somebody, they take them to Eskenazi Health, but you end up paying the bill, which I think is the dumbest budgetary thing happens. So what happens if your money runs short because of what you constitutionally must do?
I think you got to be totally transparent in everything that you do. And I think if you're transparent, you throw it out there and you're honest and you show that, I mean, we can't predict the future. I mean, it could be, per se, a good year. The numbers go up in a jail, or I would rather have a bad year where the numbers go down. But in dealing with those numbers, you know, we can't say. And if some misfortune should happen, if we had a tower go down due to a hurricane or structural damage, you know, you got to be honest. And I think the citizens are more willing to wrap themselves around that and accept that because you're up front with them. You throw it right out there on the front burner and say, hey, this is what happened. This is what we need.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Amos and Abdul for a Friday. Emmett Carney is a Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff. The filing deadline doesn't start until January, but are you reasonably confident that the precinct committee people in Marion County will enthusiastically endorse you and that nobody will try to primary? Because, you know, I keep hearing these Republicans like to primary each other.
I think it's the Democrats on the sheriff's side are actually going to have a primary. I just hear these things.
They had that. No, there was a primary last time, and the people spoke. We just hear Republicans tend to want to do that more.
I think you're looking at the man right now.
I'm looking at the guy.
The guy.
Let me. One of the things is, as I look through your accomplishments in law enforcement, what I did not see, and maybe that was an omission and people tried to give me the abridged version of the resume, if you are elected, you would have the administrative responsibility of running an organization with several hundred employees and $120 million in budget. What, in your experience with our ATF, what has been some of your administrative experience dealing with budgets and running organizations and being a team leader?
My experience with ATF, I've been put in the position several times where I've been asked to mentor, be a liaison with other agencies, with task force that we've been a part of. Say, for example, the Church Arson Task Force was a big nationwide task force that I was responsible for coordinating, not only what we had in Indiana, but other states. I had to monitor the overtime spending of money, the use of manpower, scheduling. If we did what we call a T3 or Title III, a wiretap, you've got funds that you're going to have to deal with, and you got to manage those. I mean, case management from assignments, directing who's going to go do interviews, who's not. And basically it's been on a smaller scale, but not that larger scale. But understand, I'm not an accountant, but I will surround myself with people that will be able to go in and help me to do that job. Nobody walks alone.
Now, it's interesting because the word is also that, like any elected office, it's what you do, but it's the bulk of your life experiences that make you who you are. What have you done outside of law enforcement that you think would help you be a good sheriff?
Well, the running joke is that ATF was a hobby and baseball was my my full-time job. I've been actively involved with the youth really since I'm 18 years old with coaching baseball. And when I came here, I did it with the Kentucky State Police. I've done it here since we started the Indiana Bulls program. I've coached at Speedway High School. I've coached at South Putnam, Franklin Community High School, and I'm now the pitching coach at Rebuff High School, where I continually mentor kids on and off the baseball field and help deal with their problems and situations.
How does your experience working with you, how does your experience coaching and teaching and playing baseball, how will that help? What kinds of life lessons does that bring to being the sheriff of the 55th largest county in this country?
Well, you're dealing from, I can say this from some of the not so financially wealthy to the wealthy. Mm-hmm. You deal with the total, what I would say, the maybe the fabric of our community. I get to see them all, blacks, white, Hispanics, Native Americans, and it helps me to understand what their culture is. Mm-hmm. And in turn, it makes me a better person. I think that by me coaching baseball and mentoring youth has made me, one, a better person and a better person in ATF. I just think it's a blessing that's what's helped me.
If you become the sheriff, you would be presiding over the most racially diverse law enforcement entity in central Indiana. There are people listening to you right now, and they're saying, okay, he talks good, but he's got that R next to his name, that Republican label next to his name. And how do we know if he becomes the next Marion County Sheriff that that record of diversity, which is not anywhere close with any other law enforcement agency, that we're not going to backslide and that that diversity would continue?
Well, diversity first starts with my family. Mm-hmm. Interracial marriage. I have two grandkids, step-grandkids that are part white, part Japanese.
So you're the Bill de Blasio on this ticket. Is that fair to say?
I guess, you know, but if you look at me.
Maybe not politically, but in terms of the multiculturalism.
But if you look at me, you would see that, you know, I'm very, you know, integrated in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's and what you would do is if you check whoever you talk to, you're going to find out that I'm kind of like Popeye. I am what I am. That's all that I am. And I'm not here to.
I said you got a can of spinach somewhere in your jacket. You're gonna...
But my goal is just to be who I am. And if, you know, during my 31 years of law enforcement, I've always got along with everybody. I've even, during my days with the ATF, along late towards my career, I started taking up Spanish after a possible arrest situation. I went to South America, and I try to keep that up. And so I try to be as diversified as I can. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, as far as me running, I'm running for the people. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm running for. I'm running for the people of Marion County because I believe in my heart that they need a better sheriff. I need somebody who's going to do more than just sheriff, but step outside those boundaries like I've proven for over the last 31 years with my involvement in the community.
Let me go to Reverend Phillips at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine, sir. What's up?
I told you I was going to call you.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I heard what this new representative going to do. My question is, number one, if you say you're going to run for sheriff, number one, you got to be honest. That means if you're honest with yourself, you'll be honest with people. You say you work, you did all this, you was a mentor for kids, But anyway, you got to be okay. You say you was this and that. Okay, right. Okay. You okay?
Can you get me to
honest?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you. If you you got to let your you got to let your light shine. People will see the good work. Good works will follow you.
That's true.
Good works will follow you.
All right, Reverend Phillips, let me ask.
Let's let Mr. Carney follow up to that. Okay, Sheriff, knock yourself out.
He ain't sheriff yet. But let,
well, Reverend Phillips, if you get on the internet and you Google my name, I think you'll see that I'm a good, honest person. Mm-hmm. You don't coach kids for the years that I've coached and help put them in college and be a mentor if you're not honest. The one thing that I've got to do, I went to scout school with the Devil Rays. You got to be honest. You got to call it like it is. And sometimes that hurts, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to try to do, and that's going to be my ultimate best. I can't guarantee you anything, mm-hmm. but what I will do is promise you that I will give it a good effort and look at it and try to see if we can do it in a fiscally responsible way and make it happen.
Let me go to Ken at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. How are you, James?
Fine.
I had a question for the gentleman that was running there for the sheriff.
Yeah.
The question is, I wanted to touch a little bit more on the diverse side. You said he, you know, diverse in his family, and I understand that. I get that totally. But what is he going to do to touch out to more of the believers that's not under the big R tab, the Republicans?
Great question.
No, it's No, and I think it's a fair question because one of the things, one of the questions, Emmett, just to follow up on his question there, is if you look at the dynamics of Marion County, Democrats walk in with a 10,000 straight ticket voting advantage over Republicans. Greg Ballard proved, though, that Republicans can win in Marion County under the right set of circumstances, but usually it's the other way around. So I guess the question is, how do you, as a Republican, run in a even though it's a midterm election year where Democrats tend to come out more than Republicans, how do you make inroads in the neighborhoods and communities that Republicans traditionally haven't done very well in, Mayor Greg Ballard notwithstanding?
First of all, I don't want to say how I make inroads as a Republican. I want to say, how do I make inroads as a Marion County Sheriff? I've been actively involved, like I said, with youth. I've reached out to the 10-Point Coalition. I've attended church service. I've talked to the judge at the juvenile detention center. And my thing is to try to find ways to give back to the community. When I met with the members of the 10-Point Coalition, they were saying, how do we keep, you know, what programs can you offer members that are in the jail? And I said, when you're in the jail, maybe it's too late. But what we can do is focus on the youth and try to get them involved with some projects. And I've got several ideas that I'm not going to share at this time because I kind of got to keep my cards close. But I think that you've got to get involved with the youth and have a program and offer them something.
Let me follow up what I think also Ken was asking, and it does go back to diversity. I mean, there's a column in this morning's Indianapolis Star where Matt Tully talks to the public safety director who says the IMPD is too white, yet IMPD is still flailing around trying to figure out ways to increase its diversity, while at the same time they've got to worry about a number of senior African-American police officers are nearing retirement age. So we're going to be going in the next 5 to 8 years with a reduced number of African-American law enforcement professionals in our police department. If you're elected, I mean, you're running the only other law enforcement agency in the city, and there would be some fear of people as a Republican, because again, right now all people know of you is the label next to your name.
Yes, sir.
That you'd get in there, and then all of a sudden the diversity that exists in the Marion County Sheriff's Department would go down, and we don't need the diversity in the Sheriff's Department to go down. At the same time, diversity is going down in IMPD because we're losing veteran minority police officers, and it's going to take us a while to ramp back up to get minority police officers hired and on the streets. Can you understand that fear?
I understand that fear. And when I was with ATF, I was a recruiter. And my job was to go out and try to recruit. And I'm going to tell you the simple fact that I'm a black man. I go out, I recruit, that maybe I can reach out. But while I was recruiting, you just do not find a lot of qualified, or you find qualified people, but they do not want to be in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this. And my suggestion was to ATF is that if we're having trouble finding qualified minorities, then we need to go out, go to the black colleges, and find people that want to be law enforcement, that want to work in the jail. Mm-hmm. But you got to go out and you got to look for them. But I'm not going to hire somebody just based on the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, standards. You know, I've got expectations. And if you can live up to those expectations and you happen to be a minority, then so be it.
Let me go to Ellen at 239-1310. Hi there.
Oh, hi, Amos. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I just have a question for the gentleman. I was just been listening and speaking about programs for the youth. That's wonderful, not a problem. But there's a statement that you made in regards to saying that if they're already in jail, it's too late. So I just want you to clarify whether or not you believe that once a person has been incarcerated, that they no longer have the ability to reenter society with a change focus. And so, because oftentimes, you know, I used to listen to different people talk about the programs that are available inside of prisons, et cetera. And I think if there was a more aggressive programming, not necessarily for entertainment or none of that, but something to really create some rehabilitation once they've entered the, because if people feel like they can do something better than what they've been doing, it may be, it may cut back on recidivism, if you would. So I'm just wanting to see your position on that. You know, are you giving up on them once they get there, or are you really interested in making it better when they come out?
To piggyback on her, Emmett, I don't think you're saying that just because somebody has gone to jail or is serving their time that there's no hope that they can't be, you know, they can't reenter society as a productive citizen after having made a mistake. I think what you're saying is, you know, we should try not to get there in the first place by focusing on, you know, at that sort of juvie level, and then hopefully there could be a little bit more intervention so the jail population goes down, you know, not because we're doing early release, because people aren't going there in the first place.
That's true. I don't give up on anybody. I mean, I'll stand there beside you to the end, but what I'm saying is that, you know, by the time you make Marion County Jail, more than likely you're looking at a felony, okay? And once you get that felony, you know, life's going to be tough for you. But I'm focusing on trying to work with the juvenile detention center to keep the kids out to educate them. Mm-hmm. Now, I've met with the members of the 10-Point Coalition, and we kicked the same thing around. I told them, what we have to do is come up with a system that once they're inside Marion County Jail and they come out, we need a program in place. If you're going to Wayne Township, here's your contact person. If you're going to Perry or Warren, here's somebody that can be there for you, assist you, and even talk to you and try to tie it up that way. But no, I'm not for just giving up on anybody.
We're talking with Emmett Carney. He's a Republican candidate for Marion County Sheriff. He just happens to be African American, and he's got that deep broadcasting voice. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes, I'm calling to make a comment. It interrelates with what's going on today regarding the hiring and new hiring of police department and all. And there was a comment made last week by the mayor that said we're going to make sure that we're not hiring superflies. And I just want to add on to that, yes, we don't want any superflies, but we don't want any Dirty Harrys either.
Actually, I'll take the Dirty Harry any day over the superfly, to be honest with you.
Well, but I think we want good police officers, but you made a great point. Caller, let me go back to the phones and Diana. Hi, Diana.
Hello. I would like to say that today is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
All right.
Amen.
3 days is over with. Ku Klux Klan done played out, and he needs to lean and depend on Jesus and keep continue to look to the hills from whence his help comes from.
All right. Appreciate it. Let me go to Tasha at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello. How are you today?
We're fine. What's up?
I'm good. I'm calling in regards to the comment that the representative just made in regards to having a criteria in regards to persons applying for jobs. I want to make sure that the job description is the criteria and he doesn't have a separate criteria in regards to that, and then making sure that the person who can fulfill the job description gets the job, not necessarily, you know, anything other than that. And can that question only solely be answered by the person who is running, the representative?
All right.
One of the other questions was just broken down by Brother Abdul, and I think your audience is a very scholarly audience, so we don't necessarily need anyone else to speak for the representative.
All right. Emmett Carney, they want to hear from you.
I agree with you. I don't think we should have, you know, different tests, different standards. There's one standard, there's one expectation, and if you meet those standards and those qualifications, then we'll look into it. But I'm not in for bending the rules. I mean, years ago, the city of Miami went down that road and ended up hiring felons and people with shady backgrounds, and it almost destroyed their department. So I am not in for, I'm up for, we're going to do it the right way. And if you want it, you'll be judged by, you know, your capabilities.
One of the things that I've heard people have concerns about with the Marion County Jail is the current policy where visitation is done on video monitors as opposed to the face-to-face visitation or face-to-face either through the screen or face-to-face physically. Is video something you support, or is that something you prefer face-to-face, or something to look into?
That's something I think you need to look into. I have no comment on that right now, really. I would say that I think that if somebody is incarcerated, I could see where it goes a long way to be able to sit, even though you're behind glass, and talk to your loved one rather than on a video.
Many of the people in the Marion County Jail are legally innocent under the law. They have not been, they have not had their trial. They have not been found guilty or not guilty by a jury of their peers. If you're which means under Indiana law, since they have not been convicted of a crime, they are eligible to register and they are eligible to vote. If you're elected Marion County Sheriff, would you allow voter registration to occur in your jail with those inmates who have not been convicted, who are not there because they have been convicted of a crime? They're there awaiting trial.
Assuming there's also proper security and protocols and everything else for these people to be registered.
I think the audience wants the candidate to answer the question.
Well, no, but I think that's a crucial part of that question, which is, okay, it's Friday, it's open voter registration day, so everybody who's in the jail, come on over here and register.
No, this is just for the people in the jail.
No, but you still got to have security and a lot of other
things.
Nobody's saying there's no security. No, I just want to make sure that should be also part of the question.
Oh, the audience knows that's part of the question. The audience doesn't need an explanation.
You never know. That's why you say it.
This is a broadcast major. He understood the question. Brother Carney.
Welcome to Fridays.
Brother Carney.
So I shouldn't be saying, thank God it's Friday then, huh?
On this station, you say thank God all the time.
Yes, sir. You know, that's something that I haven't discussed. I'd have to check into it. I mean, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking about voter registration and voter fraud. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's going to be a domino effect that if you do institute something like this, I mean, this has to go from A to Z, and it's going to be somebody that would, you know, I could maybe bring that issue to the table, but it's going to be a lot more involved than just me.
But you do understand that a person in jail awaiting trial is eligible under Indiana law to vote and to even vote from the jail.
And we would have to make sure that he is registered to vote.
Yeah.
But if he's not registered to vote, then do we...
There ought to be an ability to allow that citizen to register to vote. You know, the basic criteria is if they are not
convicted,
if they have not been convicted, if they are a citizen of this great country they're 18 and over.
Yes. So here's a question. What if they are convicted between the time they register and the time they vote?
They don't. Then they are not allowed to vote under the law. And as sheriff, he would not allow them to vote. He knows who's would get the absentee ballot or not. That's part of the elected sheriff's responsibility. And since everybody has been watching the elected sheriff, there has not been any accusation of voter fraud by
I'm saying there has not been any
accusation of voter fraud occurring in the jail. I just want to make sure that those that are there and are eligible to vote get to exercise their constitutional right.
Well, as always, your show is very informative, so I've learned something today, and I will check into that.
All right,
of course, please know these are the people who are in jail because they exercise the violation against somebody else's constitutional rights.
But they're still innocent until convicted
imagine that.
A court of law.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. It's... Amos and Abdul for a Friday. We're here with the Republican candidate for sheriff, Emmett Carney. Everybody wants to talk. You see, you're popular. Everybody wants to talk to you. We'll talk with them after these. Back to the phones with the Republican candidate for sheriff, Emmett Carney and Mike. Hi there.
Amos?
Yes.
I am liking nothing I hear here on Friday. I hate your show on Fridays, by the way. You know,
so why do you listen? So why do you listen? If you hate it so much, why do you listen?
Well, because I like to listen to what the other side has to say. And let me just say this.
So in other words, you can't get enough of it.
It ain't about us right now. It's about Mr. Carney. We can fight a little later in the program. Here's a man 2 days ago announced he's running for sheriff,
right.
An individual of color. Indianapolis Star ignored it. TV stations ignored it. Here he is.
Channel 13.
All right, I'll give my friends across the street credit.
Okay.
And at my invitation, and to be fair to the Marion County Republican Party, they reached out to me to let me know about this.
Okay.
And I said, okay. This is some history being made. We ought to have the gentleman on. And given by the response that I'm seeing on our call screen, y'all want to ask the brother some questions. Back up, my brother.
Back up, Abdul. Let me ask this brother a question, please.
And I think you can ask the question about – I think it's interesting you start, I hate your show on Friday because I hate that other guy.
But I really, really
because
do.
He's right all the time.
I got to go back to work. I just walked in about 10-13 minutes ago and heard the lady call about the people that are already in jail. And his response to me got me, because you know I am an advocate for felons.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those felons who 29 or 17 years ago made that one bad mistake. Drug addicted. Made a bad mistake. Went 29 years being a good person. Went the last 17 being a good person. But you gave up on me because I think I heard it in your voice. Once they're in that jail, it's over. The society thinks that. Everybody thinks that, and I hear you think that. But I already know there are people sitting in that jail that life is not over. They're just made a daggone mistake, and they deserve a chance. But I don't hear that in you, Mr. Republican running for sheriff. I hear you, once they're in that damn place, it's over. Life is rough, and life is bad. Recidivism's high. Get out. Make it hard as you possibly can. That's the time to grab them. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let me go back to the phones. And Romeo, hi there.
First of all, God bless you, sir, and Godspeed with your endeavors and what you're trying to accomplish. My question to you is question/statement. How do you return that to officer friendly? Back in the day when I was growing up, there was a term called officer friendly that we just don't hear nowadays of police officers being friendly. Then there was a statement that you had made about how unqualified people that you have qualified people, but they don't want to be in law enforcement. My question is, as you become a sheriff, if you become blessed to be sheriff, don't you think that you should infiltrate the high schools, the seniors on job fairs and the colleges, like the Army recruits them in college, therefore that we can have people who are interested, because people just are scared of police officers now?
I think a lot of it depends on what you got to do. Is one, you do have to go when they're in a younger age. And give you a good example. My stepson was in Speedway, and they got pulled over one night, and these guys got all nervous. And he said, what's wrong with you guys? Oh, man, that's the police. That's the man. He said, psh, ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm all right. But my point is, you do have to reach out to the youth. You know, and I think this is the same way with me. You know, I thought about law enforcement, and I kind of shied away from it. I said, man, I don't know. You the man. You enforcing the law, but you got to meet with these kids and tell them what the opportunities are. A lot of people, even with state police and ATF, they look at it as just a law enforcement. But I've told guys that I've mentored that has a business degree, you can work the road. Then you know what? You may go into financing. Maybe you can help be part of the Annapolis team in financing, mm-hmm. or, you know, human resources, mm-hmm. that you can use your degree. But what I'm saying is that you just got to get out and meet them and let them know. And every kid that I come across, I ask them, I say, you know, what's your dream? What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about law enforcement? And I share with them what I experienced. And I want to go back to the caller that was kind of upset saying that I give up on him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting in the conference room with a kid named Gilbert. Mm-hmm. He was a Los Angeles Crip member. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you're going to jail. That's true. But you know what? While you're in there, you need to work on getting your GED and learning a trade, so when you come out, you're going to be better than what you went in. And he told me when he started crying, he said, you know what? You're the uncle I never had. So I'm not saying I give up on anybody. And I'm saying, like I told the members, the problem with what his comment was, he came in and heard 10 minutes of the conversation. If he'd have been on time and started listening at 1, he'd have got the full gist of the story.
Yeah, but that ain't how radio works today. They coming in and out. They'll hear the replay on praiseindy.com. Let me go back to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Hello, am I on the air?
You most certainly are. Go ahead. What's up?
Well, I heard the candidate say that he was going to seek to be transparent. And living in Marion County many years, every sheriff has never been transparent. And I'd like to know what he would do about our system of cronyism. It's very steep and it's very deep, and the same people are doing the same roles. And you have the same people in position or levels, double dipping. You don't have any fresh faces. And this is for Democrat or Republican. It matters little to me. But it stinks because you have, and I liken it to when Barack Obama went to be president, he didn't know he was facing a system that was already in place and that he'd have a hard time busting down that system. This is the same thing to me in the sheriff's department. Doesn't matter who's there. And I've known folks that have been, what's the word I want to use? They've been treated miserably, mm-hmm. and have had lots of inequity in women's rights as well as people of color. And even other candidates that are white that don't get the opportunity to move up or whatever. But you find it's the same old faces, same old thing going on, everybody getting paid. And it's just terrible. And I'm afraid that a lot of people I know feel the same way I do. It would be a breath of fresh air if somebody went in there and cleaned some of that mess up, because it is a mess.
All right. Brother Carney?
In 1983, when I became a state trooper, I went to Eastern Kentucky, and the Kentucky State Police had indicted Sheriff Paul Browning, and that was my first introduction into corruption and nepotism and cronyism in the county sheriff department. And I've kind of seen it through other agencies throughout the U.S., and I've seen it by reading articles on the Internet. That is not me. When I go in, I basically be going in alone. I come from the outside, and I know coming in from the outside, being an outsider, coming from the federal government where there's sometimes riff, it's going to be a change. But, and I like to say this, you know, I love one of the former sheriffs, but you know what? I don't need to be part of his retirement plan, you know? So my thing is, I don't like cronyism, I don't like nepotism, and in a way, that equals and turns into being a bully in there. What I'm going to do is look out for the workers there, and we're going to change that, and that's just the way that I am.
Do you have the strength to stand up against cronyism of people of your own party?
If I'm sheriff and I'm the man, I will do that.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Nikki, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment to the Republican and to let him know that the way he's coming across on air, he's very sarcastic. And you're right, I did get the last 10 minutes of the conversation that you just made a statement from the other caller. And I apologize for coming in late, but unfortunately I heard what you said, and I totally agree with that man, and I hope to never read any articles about you in life. So I hope you never make a mistake or already have.
Is she talking about you or me?
I would like to
He's
say.
Talking about the candidate.
Okay.
All right, Nikki, I appreciate it. Let me go to,
I need some clarification on that one.
Let me go to Gloria right quick at 239-1310. Gloria's going to be the last caller with Brother Emmett Carney. Gloria?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I heard the earlier caller, you said something about the Officer Friendly back in the day.
Yeah.
I was an innocent bystander, and I was wondering, what is he going to do differently than the IPD police officers are doing? Because the young people that they have out there now as police officers, they're not trained to respect elderly people or the youth, because they're using intimidation tactics to get their point across. I was in front of a police scene. It was four police officers on one guy, and then the mom walked up. The police officer actually told her she was stupid. I just couldn't believe it. So I'm wondering, by the police officers that we have out there now, what are you going to do to make them better police officers as opposed to trying to recruit new officers? Because the ones you have out there now, they're going to train the new officers.
You got it.
And if they're following suit, it's going to be the same.
And, Carney, you would be over, because you were talking earlier about the 5 points, which are not what some of the listeners think would be a role of the sheriff, which would be going out on road patrol, going out and patrolling neighborhoods. However, your officers would be serving warrants. Your officers would be doing process serving. Your officers also would be ones in the jail. How would you deal with the types of attitudes you just heard from the caller? Is that what you would want your deputies to be doing?
No, I want an attitude of excellence in all we do. And I feel like that first, if we can be the best, then we'll be first. And we're going to treat people with dignity, respect, and like we were talking about the voter thing, you know, they're still human beings that haven't been adjudicated, and even if they have, it's still human decency you must display with these people or anyone.
Two final quick things. One, somebody asked, would a scared straight thing work with young people? I know people remember Scared Straight from back in the day. There's a current version that's on one of the cable channels. Are those things effective?
I think they are. I heard a parent of one of my ball players told me the other day, said it scared her. So we'll have to just try and see. But, you know, today, what kids are scared of anything?
And on this station, when we deal with any political candidate, regardless of party, our standard closing question is, if people want more information about your campaign, Emmett Carney for Marion County Sheriff, how do people get a hold of you?
They can go through the Republican office, 47 South Pennsylvania Street. We've got Facebook and we've got Twitter.
Y'all got a website?
And we got a website.
Uh-oh. See, I know it's only day two of your campaign, so it takes a while to learn all these things. So what's the website?
Let's see. Let me look at EmmettCarneyForSheriff.com.
That's a simple one.
It's easy.
Must have worked overtime to get EmmettCarneyForSheriff.com. He is Emmett Carney. You're going to hear him a lot between now and if he gets through the primary, but I have faith.
He won't get primary.
He won't get primary?
John Layton's got the primary challenge.
There's no Tea Party candidate that wants to be sheriff. And, no.
John Layton's getting primaried by a black person, so this will be interesting.
Well, that's round two.
This will be interesting to see if the African-American community will come out and support him. Now, there's a contest. Two black sheriffs on the ballot, Republican, Democrat, and Marion County. Now, that is history.
Notice he's reading the Republican. See, the candidate didn't read any talking points. He was coming from the heart. Abdul was reading the talking points.
No, I got to memorize.
Emmett Carney, good luck to you. Thanks very much for being with us.